And to start off our second hour, we're going to do something we've been doing on the Morning Wake Up Call for quite some time, dating back into the summer. If you do remember as well, Tom, when you were on the summer show, we got a New York spotlight, and we're going to be joined by the one and only David Lever. Now, he is an attorney, and usually they have some bad reputations, but I believe he's here, and he'll say that he has a good one. He was honored at the ACLG Foundation Gala last year, and that's a nonprofit which is dedicated to the betterment of lives of adults and children with learning and developmental disabilities. He's got a fascinating story here from New York City. He's also a founding partner of the Lever and Ecker Law Firm in New York City, and he writes some op-eds on topics like the Grieving Families Act. David, thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Antonio.
And so, David, just to start us off, I know you're an attorney. I know it's going to be the most basic of questions we ask you this morning, but what drew you to becoming an attorney? Has this been like your life's dream? How did you know it was your calling?
Well, when I was a little kid, my mom used to tell me that I should be an attorney because she would tell me I always used to like to argue with her. But I'm not really sure I agree with that, but nonetheless, as I grew up, I just felt that I wanted to have a profession, and I felt that working as an attorney would give me the best chance to be successful for myself, my family, but also for the greater community.
And you mentioned here there at the end, I want to build off of that, for the greater community. You want to talk maybe about some things that you have done for the greater community? What have you dedicated your life's work to?
Well, the work that I do and that my firm does is we represent people that have been involved in very serious accidents. Most of our cases, people are coming to us and they've either lost a loved one or they've suffered a catastrophic injury, and no one enjoys coming to us. Unfortunately, I wish that I could go back and make people's accidents not occur, because I'd be very happy finding something else to do. But given that I can't prevent every accident from occurring, my feeling is that we give each and every client what we believe is the best chance, not only for a successful outcome, but to help guide them along a process that is very foreign to them and very difficult for them, because they're in pain, they are out of work, they're out of money. And candidly, to go up against an insurance company and the defense lawyers on their own, they would just get eaten up. So what I like to think we do is we even the playing field, so that we tell our clients, just focus on getting better and let us take care of everything else. And usually that works. you know, the best scenario for me is at the end of a case, we can say to someone, thank God you're okay, and here's a nice settlement check. We don't always have that ability. In other words, there are plenty of times where no matter how much money you get someone, they're never going to be okay. But what you try to do is you try to put them in a position where they can live a life with dignity. So it gives me a lot of satisfaction to do the work I do. I know that what I do and what my firm does makes a difference for people. And helping people, I believe, helps the greater good.
Hi, David. My name is Jamie. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, Jamie, how are you? Good morning.
Where are you from? And like, what school did you decide to go to for law school? And how did your college education add to your life story?
Okay. Well, I grew up in Long Island, so not too far from where you guys are located, originally in Rockville Center. And then when I was 13, my parents moved us to Woodbury. So I went from being a South Shore kid to a North Shore kid. I ended up going to college up upstate in Ithaca, New York. And then I went to law school in Westchester County at Pace Law School.
And now I do want to ask, David, I did a little research on you, and I know you love to fight for people. You are committed to fighting for what you believe is right. And now my question to you is, and it could sound a little bit vague, but what do you believe is right? What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, what I think is right is, in the context of my work, if someone is injured in an accident due to no fault of their own, the question then is, how do they proceed? There are some people that say, I'd never want to bring a lawsuit, and I can respect that. But my feeling is that if someone is injured through no fault of their own and their life is completely turned upside down, they should have the ability to seek compensation for their injuries and their damages. So what I think is right is fighting for those people to make a difference. In other words, if someone has a disabling injury and can never return to work, how are they going to pay their bills? How are they going to live a life with dignity? And the answer is, the only mechanism we have in this country is to bring a claim for their injuries and their damages. So what I think is right is trying to make people as whole as possible, understanding that you can never give someone back their health, but you can put them in a position where they have a chance to thrive again and to live the best life possible. So that's what drives me. That's why I do what I do. I've been doing it long enough where it's not only about the money. Now it's about how can I make a difference for people? And the way that we work in our office is, we are not hard sell lawyers. We let our records speak for ourselves. And what we do when people come to us is, we try to give them information and try to educate them as to their rights. So, for example, there are times that people may come to me and they may be gung-ho to pursue a case, but after speaking to them and going through it, it may actually be a disadvantage for them to proceed with the case. So what I will always do is try to put the client's interest first, because sometimes what's right for the client isn't necessarily right for my law firm, if you follow me on that.
Hi, David. Thomas Ithier here.
Thomas.
How you doing? So great. To anyone who's pretty much listening right now, you know, what is that? Let's say that they're an aspiring journalist. If they're an aspiring attorney, what is something that, you know, that people are not doing that, you know, you suggest that they should do that could make them very successful in the near future?
Well, what I would say, the way to get ahead is, I believe, to work hard and to be a good listener. So you say, what do some people not do, right? There are a lot of people who just like to talk and aren't and don't listen to people. And I find that being able to listen to my clients and people that come to me, they're much more receptive because they actually feel that they're being heard. So lawyers, many of them like to talk a lot, right? And of course, we have to advocate. But I think being a good listener is something that is critically important for success as an attorney and really for anything in life. I hope that answered your question.
Hi, David. Chris Rotondo here. Thank you for joining us, Chris, this morning.
Thank you for having me.
My question for you is, you mentioned earlier that you grew up on Long Island. How do you feel that growing up on Long Island influenced not only your career, but your life path as a man?
Well, I've always lived in New York. I loved growing up in Long Island. Of course, it's the only thing that I knew, but I felt that it was a place where I made a lot of good friends. It was a place where I got a good education. It was a place where I played a lot of sports, among other things. And it was, even going back to a Hofstra reference, it was even a place where I used to, as a kid, watch the Jets practice, because they used to practice in Hofstra's, I'm sure you know. So I feel that growing up on Long Island, it was a competitive place, so that I always worked very hard to do the best I could at whatever task was at hand. I don't live on the island now. Now I actually live in Westchester County. So I moved around a little bit. I was in New York City before this, But my heart is always in Long Island. And I have my brother down there and a lot of friends down there. So it's always home.
It is a great place to call home as well. It's a place that we call school and home at the same time. But I know when I introduced you, I mentioned last year that, you know, you were honored at the ACLD Gala last year. But last week, you were also at the ACLD Gala at the Garden City Hotel once again. I want to ask you more with your work and what you have done with ACLD. How did you, you know, get into contact with ACLD? How did that become a part of your life?
Okay, thanks for the question. So my family's been involved with ACLD for a little over 50 years. And I have a younger brother who has special needs. And even though he graduated from Syosset High School, which is where I graduated, he was part mainstream and part special ed. And he was involved in after-school programs with ACLD when he was a kid. Now he lives in a group home that's run by ACLD in Great Neck. My parents were on the board of trustees at the time. Now they call it the board of directors. And I said to myself, how can I carry on a family tradition? And I had the opportunity. I was asked to join what's now the board of directors about 4.5 years ago. So I jumped at the opportunity. And so what ACLD does is they support about 1,400 children and adults with special needs. And they also employ about 1,300 people, and it's all Long Island-based. They're in Nassau County and Suffolk County, and it's a not-for-profit, and it's tremendous what they do. And I feel that for me, it's another opportunity to do something positive, but also it kind of brings me back home. Their offices are in Bethpage, so I go out there from time to time, and it makes me feel good to do that.
And, you know, the other thing I want to continue on this conversation when it comes to both, you know, children and adults with special needs. Why is it important? And I feel like, you know, it could be a little bit of an obvious question, but why is it important, you know, to be there for them and show them the love and show them the support that they so much do need? And, you know, when a lot of other people may not be willing to take that step, why do we need these people like yourself to take that step, and have, you know, be that beacon that people can follow?
Well, I think that everyone deserves a chance to live their best life. And one of the sayings at ACLD is that they try to provide an enviable life to all of the consumers, or the kids and adults that participate in ACLD's program. So the way I look at it is, my brother, who is a very sweet guy, who does the best he can, but he will never have certain opportunities that I've had, or that you and your colleagues on the show have had, and of course your listeners. But he's very happy. He works every day. He's in a home with 11 other people. And life is good for him. And, you know, why shouldn't he have that opportunity, especially when it's he's in that position, you know, for no reason other than, you know, that's what the, you know, those are the cards that he was dealt. So, and my feeling is that if a forum can be provided for people like my brother so that they can thrive, I think that's a great thing.
Now, my last question I'll ask you here, David, before I let you get on with the rest of your morning, is there a particular case or a particular client or anything that you have represented? Of course, you could hold names. You don't got to use names or anything, but that you hold especially dear, that sticks out amongst the all the others?
Well, in having my own practice for 30 years now, I guess I'm dating myself. I've had a lot of people come to me that have had touching stories. But one family that came to me about 5 years ago, they had been a family unit of a husband, a wife, and two young kids. And the husband was unfortunately killed as a pedestrian on his way home on a Friday night, after working all day. and he was on his way home to see his family and celebrate his son's 16th birthday, and he never made it home. And we took that case on, and we fought that case for about 3 years, and we were able to turn that into a $12 million settlement. Never bring back the loss of a husband or a father, but I know when I speak to my client, she's now been able to put her kids through college, and they're trying to make the best of their lives if they can. But it was a type of case where it was a very, very tragic circumstance, and we were able to do everything in our power to try to make it right under the law, even though in a perfect world, we could make the accident never have happened. And so much of what I do and much of what other trial lawyers do in my field is we're always fighting to try to make the laws better for consumers. We're trying to make the roads safer, for example, so that accidents don't happen or happen with less frequency. And, you know, basically what I do at my firm and what my partners and everyone at my firm, what we do is we try to provide information and educate people that come to us. We're not the type of lawyers that'll come knocking on your door after a death case or something like that. We're known in our community. We do work all over New York State. We have cases even in Nassau and Suffolk County. And sadly, we always are seeing very tough situations for people. But we try to say, how can we try to make it right to the extent that we can as lawyers?
Well, David, first off, I want to thank you for joining us here this morning, but I also want to thank you for doing the honest man's work, and I really wish that we had more people like you out here in our world and our community really helping those and helping the community around them.
Well, Antonio, I appreciate the opportunity to come onto your show and to speak with you and your colleagues. I wish you the very best with your radio program and, of course, getting your degree in journalism and for a wonderful future.
Well, thank you so much, David. As for us here on the Morning Wake-Up Call, we're going to take a quick little break. We have Carrying Your Love With Me by George Strait. I feel like it's a pretty good way to wrap up this interview. David, once again, thank you, and have a fantastic rest of your morning.
Thank you, Antonio. You have a great day as well.